Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, it's Tuesday already. How is this possible? I just remember doing this show last week. It seems like only a day or two ago. But of course, you know, when time flies when you're having fun, and certainly when you're dealing with a lot of animals and great special needs kids all day long, time does fly very, very quickly. Well, one of the things we're going to do today is we have our wonderful, incredibly knowledgeable, amazing, beautiful, one of our favorite guests ever, Janae Bowen from Doggy 911, who is going to continue on where I was last week about trying to explain to people how to be careful and be safe in the summer. Because, you know, unfortunately, dogs can't really do things for themselves. They can't unlock a locked window. They can't get out of a car if you forget to, you know, that you have your dog in there, like we had last week. We were discussing about the rash of father dearests, daddy dearests, who were bringing their toddlers to work with them and forgetting the kids were there and the kids died in a hot car. Unfortunately, that happens a lot more often with animals that people just don't even realize. And I actually had that, a friend of mine, not a very good friend, but a good acquaintance, who almost had that happen because she lived in New Mexico. And one day she went and she had left the door open while she went back into the house to grab something, and she didn't notice, but her dog had jumped into the back seat and started, you know, just kind of relaxing. So she didn't even know the dog was in the back until, you know, she had locked the doors and went back to look at, you know, to pick something up, and oh my gosh, my dog's in the car. So I've heard crazy things like that. Well, we want to prevent that from happening. We have these amazing animals that we deal with every single day, and these wonderful children. And today I was fortunate to be working with a number of wonderful, wonderful students at one of the special needs schools that I deal with on a daily basis. So we're going to be creating a whole new incredible program, which hopefully Janae Bowen will be able to come and present at, to teach these kids about, you know, the things that can happen with dogs, good and bad, but, you know, how to take care of a dog who might have some kind of an issue. What happens when you find that you've got a dog with heat stroke? What happens when you find a dog who's got an insect or a snake bite? Remember, we always look at life from our own perspective. And, you know, so you got to look at it like right now we were talking about in California and Santa Barbara area, it's like dry and it's like heat stroke time. And here in New Jersey, we've got like right now 99% humidity and lightning going off with, we got plenty of water. We're going to ship it out to California and they're going to ship us some of the nice weather they have in the winter. But it's really important to be prepared, especially if you travel with your dog or if you participate in sports or games like agility or lure coursing. I do want to send a couple of amazing shout-outs to two very, very special people. The one is, of course, the inimitable future Dr. Jody Joseph, who was just helping me do some final edits on my new behavior book, which is going to be out. It's going to be at the editor's tomorrow, so it will be out hopefully by next week. I'll have a website for you, and it'll be up on our website as well to be able to get this book. It's really cool. I'll talk about it in a little bit. But the other person I want to send a great shout-out is Noel and Melissa Hirsch, who have Wyatt's little brother, same litter, from Mama Willow, who won at Westminster. And this dog is called Rambo's John Dillinger. And he's got as many titles as Wyatt has. He has even more titles with rally, obedience, and all kinds of amazing things. And he's actually the number one ranked Rhodesian Ridgeback in the country, in World Sino Sport and in a bunch of other aspects with you know, obedience and all. So we're so proud of them because it's a lot of work to do that. And Noel and Melissa, you guys, have been great puppy owners, and I'm very proud to have met you and call you my friend. So we're going to go back to talking about sometimes things happen in the summer. People, I think, are always a little bit more aware in the winter that they shouldn't keep the dogs outside in the winter. But I think people tend to forget that, you know, in the summer, the weather can change, can be so volatile that, you know, it can be like 100 degrees in certain areas. And if you've ever golfed or if you've ever been, you know, outside in any kind of sporting event, you will know that if you're sitting in the hot sun, you can get heat stroke. You can pass out. So if you have a dog who is laying in the sun because you haven't provided adequate shelter for him, or if he is the kind of dog that just likes to lay outside, you can oftentimes, you know, cause your dog to have heat stroke. We actually had one of my Ridgebacks who was a rescue, Tara, who somebody who worked at the farm, you know, like the kennel boy, was out there and didn't realize, or maybe did realize, that one of our older dogs was outside. And so he, you know, basically stupidly just, you know, didn't notice that she was there, and he locked the door, locked the doggy door. So she wound up, and she was, 15 at the time, 14 at the time. She was an older dog. And so what happened was she was outside while I was out teaching a couple of classes. I came back expecting her to be inside in the air conditioning, and instead I couldn't find her. So we had to search the field. We found her, and she was actually outside, passed out. She was non-responsive. Her body temperature was off the top of the thermometer when the veterinarian came and did her temperature. If it could have, the thermometer would have exploded because she was just so overheated. We used ice. We used everything we could imagine to try to bring her body temperature down. And fortunately, she was a real tough cookie, and she lived to almost 16 years old. But that was something that could have affected her heart. It could have affected her lungs. It could have affected her brain or her immune system, thyroid, anything, because that's how your body is able to protect itself. It, you know, for heating and cooling, the brain will always and the heart will always get the energy first. And the energy will come away from the extremities first and then up the body until finally, you know, unfortunately, the heart gives out and the brain gives out. So we're going to talk about that because what's interesting is I've included a lot of these really awesome things in my book, and it's going to be great for everybody to use as a handbook. This isn't about me, and, you know, I'm not a narcissist. I don't really care if anybody sees my name on it. I really am not writing it for that, but I've had so many thousands of clients and people I deal with on a daily basis say, you know, hey, Janice, you need to write a really comprehensive book, you know, that has everything in it. So my good friend Temple Grandin has given me a bunch of wonderful things. I've got a very close friend who's a veterinarian. He's writing a portion, and I'm hoping to have a section on emergency maneuvers and helping your dog in certain situations. So by way of that comment, I believe I am asking Janae Bowen to contribute a portion of a chapter for me, and I hope she'll say yes after the break. So now that I've put her on the spot. But it's a really great thing, and you know, people love their animals, put a lot of time and energy in. We want to keep your animals safe. So stay tuned. We will be right back with Janae Bowen from Doggy911. Don't go away.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044 and tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And as promised, we have the incredible Janae Bowen from Dog E911 who is here again and hopefully will be back every month as hopefully we'll be able to pick her brain about these incredible things. She's truly one of the most knowledgeable people that I've ever met about dog and emergency response information. She's got a tremendous background also with other animals, so she's not limited to dogs, but of course that's what we're going to be picking her brain on today. Janae, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, Janice. Thank you for having me. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great. I just hope the lightning and thunder stops so we don't have any crashes and bangs in the backyard. But that is another thing that I did want to pick your brain on, and I hope you have some great answers for that. Because obviously, as a behaviorist, I deal with a lot of people who have dogs with fear issues. And unfortunately, a lot of times the people are creating or exacerbating the fear issues because they're coddling their dog. Whoa, I have a whole couple chapters on this in my book. So what do you do, Janae, when you have a dog who, let's say, is outside, and I'm not talking from a behavioral, but from a medical standpoint, who might be like, I don't know if this happens out there, but I know it happens in Missouri where we have our new farm, where, you know, there are a lot of lightning strikes and really crazy weather, and the dogs sometimes just seem to run into it. Do you know what the best way is to, you know, to deal with an animal who's maybe, you know, been out in the weather and has been frightened?
Well, I think with any, you know, and we don't obviously get as many thunderstorms and things. I mean, I'm from Tennessee, so I know what all the thunderstorms and things are like just from, you know, being from back the area. But living out here in the central part of California, we don't get as many thunderstorms and things. I mean, it happens very rarely. And so when it does, it obviously affects the animals because it's not something that's normal. But it doesn't happen as often. But we do get things, there are, you know, other weather conditions that affect them. And even just, you know, recently we just had the 4th of July. So obviously lots of fireworks and things that are, you know, going off even sometimes when they're not supposed to. And obviously that affects, you know, the animals as well because of the noise and the lights and all of the, you know, different sounds that are going off that scare them. So, you know, with that being said, you know, there's things, other things besides just the storms that are noisy and loud that can cause issues with the animals and scare them. And obviously then that way they not only can run away, but they could run out in front of traffic and get hurt. Whether it be, you know, any type of thing that we're talking about, run out of traffic and get hurt, run away, get lost. I think it's like the highest time, 4th of July is like the highest time when they find the majority of loose dogs that are, you know, loose from their owners, because they get, you know, get out and away from them. And so, you know, all those different types of things can happen besides them, you know, obviously getting away. It could be, you know, obviously if they get out and get hit. So any of those type things can happen. Things that I recommend are definitely, obviously, if you have pets that are outdoors, or if you have pets that, you know, even are in the house, you know, bring them in something to be, even if you have an outdoor animal, bring them into the garage or some type of a storage room or something like that, but somewhere where they can be kind of away from the noise, whatever it may be. And you know, get them out of that where it's not as loud and as powerful for them. There's also things that you can do to kind of like desensitize in a way, where you could buy tapes that have thunderstorms on them. You know, like those they make them sometimes for relaxation, because some people like them with the ocean waves and the thunder and lightning and things like that. And you can buy those types of tapes. You can buy, even buy those that have firecrackers on them, sounds. And you can play that at a very low volume where it's not, you know, overpowering for the animal, but low volume, just to kind of get them used to the sound so that it kind of desensitizes in a way, and that they're not as fearful of those sounds when they hear them. I think a big thing goes back to the behavior stuff that you're talking about, because I know that with my animals, per se, when everyone always asks me, you know, do your dogs have a lot of issues with the fireworks or with any type of, you know, loud noises and scary, and mine really don't. And I think that's because I've socialized them so well, and I, you know, I take them with me. As you know, my little Chloe goes with me on all of my trips when I'm working across the country and when I'm teaching to the fire crews and stuff. And because of them being so, you know, desensitized to many different types of things, and being so socialized, a lot of the different sounds don't bother them. I know when we were in, Chloe and I were traveling, and I was doing some training in Georgia, and there was a big storm that came through Georgia. And Chloe had never been in a storm like that before. It was a huge thunder and lightning storm. They were expecting, you know, a possible storm from a hurricane that was coming in on the East Coast. And it was a really bad storm, but she was fine because of all the different things that I had exposed her to, and helping to, you know, kind of calm things down for her so she didn't have the issues. And then there's things like natural stuff, like there are things that you can do massage-wise that, you know, can help ease an animal and, you know, calm them down, whether it be any type of noise. There's the ears are wonderful. They have a lot of great pressure points in them. They've got points for relaxation. They've got points for seizure, you know, to calm down seizures. They've got points in them for shock. And so working with the ears and doing a lot of acupressure in the ears is a very calming and soothing, relaxing thing for an animal that's really anxious or that's, you know, very upset about noises and things. So that's another thing that can really work. And lavender oil works really great too.
Yeah,
lavender oil.
I love that a lot.
Yeah, it works great. You can kind of rub a little bit of it, and you can use that to massage into the ears, actually, and help calm the animal.
Between the pads of the feet. The only thing is, people, if you're using them, get a high-quality essential oil. Do not
Absolutely.
Go and buy, like, Airwick, you know, or not that Airwick is bad, or one of these, you know, air fresheners and think it's lavender. It's not. It's just a very tiny bit of artificial smell. Get the actual really good essential oils. They're a little expensive, but a tiny, tiny drop goes a long way.
Oh, it does. It does.
Use that with special needs kids when the kids are a little overwhelmed. I have, and I've shared this with my good friend Temple Grandin, where what I'll do is I'll put a wristband on the child. Let's say, like, you'd wear a sweatband on your wrist or your head, and you take a sweatband on one side that will have the lavender oil, and a sweatband on your other arm, your other wrist, that will have, like, a peppermint or eucalyptus that will help the child to wake up. So you can have one way that it kind of helps to calm them. I've also seen, I know there's somebody, it was a friend of mine, who was creating a special collar that had a little scent area that you could drop a drop of lavender oil or one of the calming oils from some of the top, you know, natural essential oil companies. And this way you'd be able to actually have that right near his head and neck. And he would gently smell that. And, you know, those are all things that are temporary fixes. Best thing in the world, and we're going to definitely talk about this when we come back, obviously the best thing in the world is to have a dog who is very calm, confident. And that's where, you know, my behavior book will be very helpful for a lot of people who, you know, live too far away for me to actually get to you. But it will be very helpful. And with a little bit of luck, and if you guys want to call in and let us know, but I'm hoping Janae will be able to add a little bit about some emergency response, so we'll be able to help more dogs. So, Janae, I know you're going to stay on because I love you. And we'll be back in just a moment, so please stay tuned for some more amazing wisdom from Janae Bowen, Doggy 911, on From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. We'll be right back.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand. A true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we're talking with the incredible Janae Bowen from Doggy 911, who is just so knowledgeable. And we're discussing about things that we can do, in particularly in the summer, to help our dogs get through severe weather and other issues. Janae, I know one of the things we wanted to talk about was, and obviously I added about that at the beginning of the show, what do we do when we have, especially an elderly dog, but when we have a pet who maybe has had too much exposure to the sun or is very severely dehydrated? Obviously we want to get the dog to a veterinarian, but what happens if you're 2 hours away from a veterinarian, or an hour away, or you can't move it because it's a large animal? What is the best way to deal with, like, heat stroke and other similar things in, you know, caused by the summer and the you know, excessive heat that we have sometimes?
Well, I mean, it's so important to cover this because it happens so often. It's like you said earlier, I think people think more about it in the winter time, even though we still have issues with people doing things that they, you know, leaving animals out when they shouldn't. But the summer seems to be, it happens so often, and it's such a horrible way to die. And that's the other thing too. The animals don't always die. Sometimes, you know, it causes, you know, kidney issues and failure and brain damage. So even if they, you know, there's other things that can happen to these animals too. And so it's just so dangerous. It's so very important to make sure that we're, you know, getting these animals out of the warm weather, not bringing them into the cars, and making sure that, you know, they're safe so that, you know, these things don't happen to them. I mean, obviously, you know, if you know you're not going to be able to take them with you, then you just need to leave them at home. So, you know, the animals can't sweat like we do. They, you know, their body doesn't work the same. You know, so when you see an animal that's obviously having a heat stroke issue, the most important thing is immediately to, you know, triage, because you have to do something, because this is a sensitive thing. It's a very, very sensitive thing. Once an animal has been through, you know, it's gone to a certain point of heat stroke, there's going to be, you know, consequences, and there's going to be things, and it's going to be very expensive, because you're going to be dealing with all kinds of kidney issues and stuff with this animal. So there, you know, there are things that you're going to need to do to help, you know, hopefully get this animal not only to the vet and hope, but hopefully save its life. You know, you need to, you know, obviously recognize the signs of heat stroke, first of all, because, you know, if you see an animal in a car, and it's a warm day, and it doesn't really have to be, you know, if people think that it's, you know, oh, it's 75, so it's not really hot out there, but it's different inside a vehicle. The vehicle can rise so much hotter. I mean, it can rise basically like, you know, 20 degrees inside, you know, the interior in like as little as, you know, 7 minutes. So the fact that, you know, it's out, the dog may be out there for, let's say, 20 minutes or so, then the car is going to continue to rise. And it doesn't matter if it's in the shade or the windows are open or it's under a tree, the car temperature is still going to be very much hotter. It can get over 30 degrees hotter inside a vehicle than on, you know, the outside. So it can basically be, you know, let's say it's 80 degrees outside. So the temperature can be about 102 degrees in that car. Or if you wait another, you know, if you wait like 30 minutes, it would rise to 120 degrees. And that's very hot. Nobody wants to sit in a 120 degree car. So why would your dog? So it's, or any animal for that matter, but more obviously the dogs are the most, you know, ones that people take with them. And so it's highly dangerous. Even if it seems cool to you, it's not safe. And so, you know, the signs to look for are things like, obviously, the animal's panting excessively. If you take the temperature of the animal, like you were talking earlier, it's going to be way above normal. And a normal temperature for a dog is going to be between 100 to 102.5. And so it would be very high. It would be, you know, over 103, but it would be more likely 106, 107, 108. The animal's going to be dehydrated, which a way to test for that is to, you know, kind of pull the nap of the skin up by the neck and see if it doesn't bounce back. It wouldn't. It would be like kind of pinching up into a little tint. And their mouth, inside their mouth, you pull up the gums, and their mouth is going to be a bright flaming red. Or it could be, you know, totally white if they've totally lost unconscious. The eye membranes, where you pull down the eye, you see the little pink of the eye, that will be another bright, bright red. They're going to have a very rapid heartbeat, or they may have no heartbeat, obviously, if they're unconscious. And you take their pulse, basically right at the femoral artery in between, you know, the hock of the leg where it meets the body wall. They'll be having a diarrhea. They could be bleeding from the mouth and vomiting. They'll look very confused and dazed, and then also, you know, they obviously could be unconscious, where you would have to obviously give them some type of resuscitation, because that's very time sensitive. So you know, those are you know, kind of the signs that I, you know, I say to look for. And if you
fix it, Janae, like, what do you do? Because that's awesome. Now we know what to look for. What do you do when, you know, before you can get the dog to the vet, or like in the case with my rescue dog, Tara? I mean, she's 100 pounds. I can't pick up a 100-pound dog and bring her to the vet. So fortunately, I had a friend who happened to be a vet, who happened to be there and was able to help me. But what do you do? How do you reduce body temperature you know, quickly and safely to be able to help this dog.
Okay. Well, and again, it doesn't matter what age, because we've had young animals die of heat stroke, older animals die of heat stroke. Obviously, the older it's more dangerous, the younger it's more dangerous, just like it is with an elderly person or a young puppy. So first and foremost is you need to get them out of the heat source. So if they're outside in the weather, you got to bring them in. If they're inside a car, you've got to get them out. Now, if you're at a shopping mall and you see an animal in that vehicle and you recognize the signs of heat stroke,
break the window.
You need to break the window. You need to break the window. What you can do is call the police. Let them know that you are responding to a dog that is dealing with a heat stroke, and that you are going to you're letting them know that it's happening, and that you're going to be breaking the window and getting the dog out. It is illegal to leave an animal in a car. It is, and leave them in a car on a hot day. It's part of considered animal cruelty. So, it's something that, myself would do. It's something that, you know, people have done. And even though it is illegal to break someone's car window, it is, it's less illegal. It's lesser of the evils, I guess, because that is obviously the danger, because you're going to talk about death versus obviously a damage to a vehicle, to get that animal out. Now, if you're just starting to notice signs of the heat stroke, you can go look for the owner. You can go inside to the mall and ask for them to page the person. You can check, that you can talk to the security officer that's there at the facility or whatever, to try ahead. But if it's to the point where that animal is in a danger zone with things I spoke about, then the first and foremost thing is getting that animal out. So obviously breaking the window and, letting them know that you are doing this and getting that animal, pulling that animal out of the car.
Okay,
once
awesome.
You get
Janae,
the...
We're going to have to hit
sure.
a break, but you'll stay on the next
sure.
lesson and tell
yeah.
us, I hope.
Yes, we will. Go into
All
the next
right.
on next step.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And we are going to continue on about a very, very life-saving experience that we are going to be able to change dogs who have heat stroke and other medical conditions during the summer. And Janae is going to be teaching us all of these incredible things that hopefully could not only save our dogs, but save the lives of maybe somebody who isn't as knowledgeable, maybe somebody who doesn't listen to our show and doesn't know any better. Because unfortunately, like my good friend Dennis Parker always says in Missouri, he always says, jokes, you can't fix stupid, Sometimes you can't slap it out of people either. It's unfortunate. And my good friend Temple Grandin, who's always saying, bad becoming normal. Sometimes, we're so exposed to such stupidity and ineptitude on a daily basis that we start kind of not reacting to that stupidity and ineptitude, and we think like, I guess everybody does it. No, it's just bad becoming normal is not okay, especially when it's the life of an animal. So what Janae is saying is not that you should be breaking into somebody's vehicle and hoping there's a dog in there that you can save. It's really about doing your due diligence, making sure that you find the person who's the owner, if at all possible. But if the dog is in critical condition, you know, sometimes you just got to do what you just got to do. And that's what we're talking about today. So now, assuming we've gotten the dog out of the hot car, Janae, we've now gotten the dog, you know, let's say somewhere somewhere outside of the car, and the dog is no longer in the heat, but the dog is, let's say, unconscious or on the verge of unconsciousness. What do we do to help that dog before we can get it to a veterinarian?
Okay, well, obviously, when they're in the danger zone, it's very important to get them to the veterinarian as soon as possible because, again, it's time sensitive. But in the interim, or until you get there, you need to start cooling this animal down. But you also need to be careful not to put the animal in shock. So you don't want to just dunk it in a, you know, tub of water or dunk a bucket of water over it, because that's going to also, you know, cause a shock issue. So instead, we want to cool the animal down, you know, the right way. So you want to start kind of, you can spritz the animal with cool water, you know, but you want to concentrate the majority of it either into the groin, where that femoral artery is that I talked about, the trunk of the body, you know, around the belly area and the area that's the less hairy, and also on the head. So you're going to spray with cool water. You can use a cool pack. You can take a towel and wet it and wrap it around these areas, but basically concentrating on cooling the head, the trunk, and the groin area. And it is important, obviously, to, you know, if you can take the temperature so that you can maintain and make sure that you are bringing that temperature down slowly and not too fast, because again, we don't want the animal going into this shock mode. If it's an animal that has a lot of hair, okay, you can also, you know, kind of separate the hair, kind of, you know, kind of move the hair around and you know, kind of separate the hair apart so that you are kind of getting more of that, you know, spritzing of the water over as much of the body as you know, getting it as much into the skin as possible and using it to help cool that animal down.
Hey, Julie, I have a quick question, because I've seen people do this, and I know you're not supposed to do it. If a dog is dehydrated, I have seen people take a syringe or a spoon and start putting water into the mouth. I want people to understand that's not a good idea, because if the dog is at all incompetent or passed out or unconscious and incompetent of, you know, being able to swallow that properly, the dog can actually aspirate and you can be pushing liquid down into the lungs, and now you've created another problem. So
absolutely.
You know, mention that to people. Don't think you're doing him a big favor by picking up his head and dumping water down, because if he's not swallowing, it's in his lungs, and now, you know, he can get all kinds of other fluid build up in his lungs. Now he can't breathe on top of everything else. So just be aware of that, guys.
Absolutely. And that's a good point to add in. It is very true. We don't want to do that. I mean, you can offer them a very small amount of water if they are wanting to drink, but you don't want to, you know, overload that system. This animal is having a shock. It's having an emergency. So you're going to, you know, basically work on cooling that temperature down, and you do not need to force any type of water or any kind of liquid into their body. It's going to cause more damage. So the most important thing is, you know, working on cooling this animal down and doing it the ways that I talked about, because of that's going to help cool the animal down, and it's going to bring the temperature down slowly, and, you know, so it's not harming the animal. Now, if the animal is unconscious, as well as, you know, obviously cooling the animal, you're going to have to perform CPR, because this animal is now where its heart is not beating, it is not breathing, and so we, you know, we're going to have to actually do something, because by the time you get it to the vet, the animal, you know, obviously may have already perished. So beginning the CPR is very important as soon as possible, because of the fact that, again, it's another time-sensitive thing. So this is where knowing how to do CPR on an animal is important, because this is a case where you would have to do it. But just in general, you know, the animal, you're going to be breathing into the nose, not the mouth, like you are on a person, and you're going to be tilting back the head and opening up the airway, breathing into the nose, covering the mouth, sealing off the whole muzzle if you can do it. If not, you're going to be just covering the nose. and your compressions are going to be either one or two-handed, depending on the size of the animal. And it's always, your hand placement is always at the widest part of the ribs. That's one thing people can't ever remember all the different scenarios, because it's different based on size and weights of different animals. You're doing it to a kitten or a rabbit versus to a lamb or to a, German shepherd. Every animal is different, and every animal is going to be different on the breaths and the compressions. But if you can't remember, use the widest part of the ribs is where your hand position is, and your breath and your compression ratio, you're going to basically base it on the size and weight of that animal. So if it's a very small animal, you don't want to see that chest rise very much. If it's a larger animal, you're going to want to see the chest rise up about three, it's going to be about 3 inches. If it's a smaller animal, you're going to see it rise maybe about an inch to an inch. So because you don't want to obviously, overinflate the lungs, you don't want to compress the chest too much. But it is important to learn the proper techniques for it, and it's hard to really explain it, obviously, over the radio.
But when you come out in November for our United Canine Professionals National Convention, maybe we'll have a day where we can have the general public come, and they can, buy tickets to learn about this, and we can maybe run something, because I know we're going to have a lot of people asking about, how to do this, and you are definitely one of the innovators in the country on this. So we definitely are going to be able to offer that, and hopefully we'll be able to also link to Janae's website. We're going to hopefully be able to talk a little bit more about the, chest compressions and how to handle the heat stroke. But I think in the next segment, we were going to discuss kind of some cool things like snake bites, spider bites, and other insects, and also allergic reactions, because that's definitely something, depending on where you are in the country, that, people get stung and bitten. So if a dog gets stung, you might not see it, especially if it's a longer-haired dog, because on my Rhodesian Ridgebacks, how little hair they have. They're very, very short hair, so if they get a little mosquito bite, it's very obvious. But if you have a German Shepherd or a Golden, or, an old English sheepdog or something with a heavy coat, or a Leonberger, you might not notice it, and the dog could have issues. So, Janae, I know, is going to stay tuned, and you guys do not go away. You're going to love it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And as promised, we are returning with some more incredibly important information on how to keep our dogs healthy and happy and out of harm's way. We are also enjoying a beautiful thunderstorm right now, so I'm sure my Rhodesian Ridgebacks will not go outside. They will never be hit by lightning unless it hits the bed, because they are sleeping on my Select Comfort sleep number bed right now. And one of my issues with that is every time two or three dogs get off, all of a sudden it's kind of not as good, as firm anymore, then I bump it up a little bit, and then two or three get back on, and all of a sudden I've got a super firm. So we have to figure out some kind of automatic thing with my bed, but they're all comfy, cozy right now. I just can't imagine, though, what would dogs be thinking right now if they were outside? I think they'd be pretty scared. I mean, people have to really take it very seriously when you have dogs. And if you have a dog that has any kind of behavioral issues, any kind of thunder and lightning anxiety or firework anxiety, separation anxiety, or any behavioral issue, including aggression, make sure you call us. We have an 800 number that you can call, and we'll give you free advice. And if you need us to come to your house, we actually do come to people's homes. We're in 37-plus states, plus 7 countries around the world. So if you need help, call us at 855, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, PROS. 855-4-K-9-PROS. And if you want to get involved with Merlin's Kids and help save 2 lives at a time, you can always contact us at merlinskids.org or at 855-HI-WYATT, and we will be happy to help you with any concerns you have. But for right now, we're going to be switching gears a little bit and talking about allergic reactions. And I know Janae had mentioned a couple of weeds and plants that we don't even have on the East Coast, but I wanted, since we're international, I definitely wanted to discuss that. Janae, thank you so much for returning. Please tell me wonderful things that dogs can be allergic to besides macadamia nuts and onions and all the things we already know. What kind of house plants or what kind of outdoor plants or bugs and scorpions and things, snakes, what do we got out there?
Well, I mean, there's a long list. In fact, I have a huge list of stuff, so I mean, I can put that up if that would help, so that you can, you know, kind of use that, and people could maybe print that off and put it up on their fridge or something, because there's just a huge list of plants. I mean, it's so long that I can't even name off all of the different types of plants that animals are allergic to. And there's a lot of insects that, you know, animals have issues with as well, you know, like fleas, like bees. So there's so many things that, you know, that they can have issues with, and so it is important to be able to know what to do, you know, first aid wise, and then also to know things, because obviously if you have gardens and you have a lot of property and you want to have a lot of pretty different types of plants, you just need to make sure that obviously if you have these plants that they are allergic to, that you you've got an animal that's not going to mess with these things, or you keep them, you know, away from the animal, or you just don't plant them. You use other types of plants that are not toxic, and that they don't have issues with. It's so funny because there's so many things that you know, we only run out of time because there's so much stuff to talk about, but there's so many things that, you know, that are important. I think fleas and bees are the biggest things that, you know, we're going to have issues with this time of year. I mean, there's lots of different types of insect bites. I mean, that you can have in year round, and bees and fleas can be those, but we see more of this in the summertime. And let's just talk about bees real quick. The dogs get stung a lot of times because they're curious, and they'll kind of bite at the bee, and that's when they'll get stung. It usually happens on more of the soft, less hairy parts of the animal. That's usually where you'll see it. Sometimes the nose, sometimes the feet, sometimes in the mouth. If they bite, they'll get stung right into it, in the mouth. This can cause the animal to go into anaphylactic shock. So, and it could be a spider bite too. It could be, a scorpion sting as well. But the bees are probably the most common that people are going to see, especially if they're going hiking with their animals and things like that. Signs of this would be collapse. The animal would have difficulty breathing. Obviously, the sight of the sting would be painful. The animal might be licking at the sight. They may have hives. They may be having any vomiting or diarrhea. And if they're going into an anaphylactic shock mode, they're going to have swelling to the face and neck. It's going to start closing off that throat. So again, back to the CPR stuff, if it's necessary, this is going to be something you're going to need to do. But besides that, you know, you need to check the vitals of the animal and obviously watch those so that, you know, you can monitor them and give that information to the vet when you get there, the pulse and the breathing, their temperature. And if you can get the stare out, that is also good. You want to remove that, but don't pick it or scrape it to where it, or don't pick it or pull it where it will release more toxins, or it may break off. The best way to remove a stare is basically taking a hard surface like a hard business card or a credit card. Yes, and you use it to scrape at the side and lift up, so it kind of pulls under and up, and it pulls the whole stinger out. And that's the best thing. And so I tell people to put those in their first aid kit. Put, you know, you want to have your first aid kit, which we talked about before on other shows for animals. You put an old credit card or an old bonds card or an old grocery store card or whatever. Put that inside your kit so you have that as well. You can apply cool packs to the bite area to help, you know, with the pain. You can give them a little baking soda paste with water, a little mixture to put on the bite to help, you know, basically draw out some of the toxin and also kind of help with some of the pain. You can give them Benadryl, and this is, you know, based on the size and weight of the animal. It's basically about 1 milligram per pound of body weight is what it is. And for the felines, if you do cats, it's about 0.5 milligram per pound of body weight. So, and if you're doing the liquid, there's a way to kind of figure out the concentration as well, as that's, you know, you kind of, it's basically like it's like a 0.5 milliliter only, for, the animals under 30 pounds. And then it's, like a 1 to 1.0 solutions of, for the larger animal, but you base this by the body weight. And I can put up that if you're interested too, because it's, you know, you basically, you know, kind of break it and cut it in half, and it's a way where you divide it by the weight of the animal. So, but for my animal, for example, she's an 8-pound dog or a 9-pound dog. She'd only be getting a 0.5 milliliter of the liquid dosage. So it's a little, you know, configuration between the two, but easy to do. So, and again, I can put that up for you if it's something that you're interested in,
yeah,
in having. And yeah, because it's a good thing to know. In fact, I even have a list that has the medications that are safe for animals and the dosage rates. So that's something we could put up as well, because then it tells you things that that have at home that you can give your animal that are safe, versus medicines that are obviously not safe for the animal. So with that being said, I mean, those are things that you can do. I mean, obviously, until you get to the vet to deal with it, if it's something that's more serious, if it's something where the animal's going unconscious, then again, it would be where you would be giving them CPR and, you know, getting them to the vet right away, because, you know, depending on the bite wound, depending on if it's a serious bite wound, you know, it would be something that would be more serious. If you have, obviously, like a venomous bite wound, that's something that's going to be more serious and definitely something that needs to be addressed.
Janae, we're going to be back in just a minute. We have to take a hard break, and we will be right back. Thank you so much. Well, and thank you, Janae, for all the information that you've given us today. This stuff will be posted on Janae's website, doge911.com, I believe. And
yes,
You'll be able to learn all this, and we will promise to have Janae involved in my book, hopefully, and definitely to be on the show again. Thank you all so much for listening. Have a wonderful, healthy year and a wonderful, healthy summer, and please use these very helpful hints that Janae has provided you to help your dog and others. Have a wonderful, wonderful night.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.